Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, and today I am honored to have a chance to talk to one of the great scientist authors in the intelligent design movement. His books include the classic Icons of Evolution, The Myth of Junk DNA, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and Intelligent Design, and his latest book, Zombie Science. Welcome, Dr. Jonathan Wells.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
We're happy to have you. I always learn a lot when you're here. We always have a good discussion about things, and I am just thinking about it is fall, and that means that kids are going back to school, kids of all ages, from little ones on up, 6, 16, 26 even, I suppose. And the question that we have for you today is, what are kids going back to when they go back to school? A lot of your research and writing has focused on biology textbooks over the years, and specifically how they present the evidence, such as it is for neo-Darwinian evolution. So I just wanted to ask you, and kids go back to their science class and their biology textbook, what are they going back to and how bad is it?
Well, in biology, most topics, as far as I can see, are taught fairly accurately. How do cells work? What are the organs of the human body? What are the parts of a plant? And that sort of thing. All those things are worthwhile and good to learn. The problem is that in recent years, Darwin's theory of evolution has become the centerpiece of biology textbooks. And they all include at least one chapter on evolution. And they all include, at this point, what I have called the icons of evolution, or some of the icons of evolution. These are illustrations that supposedly show students the evidence for evolution, but in fact misrepresent the evidence. In some cases, they're actual fakes.
And when you say illustrations, you mean not a drawing, but an example of evolution and how it works in the real world. And you're finding that that's not necessarily the case.
Many of them actually are drawings of this or that. Sometimes they're photos, but the ones that I have focused on, as I said, actually misrepresent the truth. For example, biology textbooks apparently find it essential to convince students that life originated without any design on the Earth. It was just a spontaneous assembly of chemicals with sun and lightning or something like that. Basically happened by accident, according to the textbooks. And for many years, they've used an experiment that was done in 1953. It's a glass apparatus in which Stanley Miller put a mixture of methane, ammonia, hydrogen, and water vapor. Then he shot an electric spark through it, and after a week, he found some amino acids, which are the chemical building blocks of proteins. And this was announced to be evidence that scientists were close to solving the riddle of the origin of life. Well, the experiment within 15 years was pretty well discredited because scientists who study the Earth and its atmosphere realized that the early atmosphere on the Earth was not methane, ammonia, and hydrogen. For one thing, hydrogen, being the lightest element, would evaporate into space. The Earth's gravity is not strong enough to hold it. And when you do the Miller experiment with the right gases, you don't get the amino acids. So the experiment actually shows us nothing about the origin of life. And yet when I surveyed recent textbooks just last year, the Miller experiment, it's actually the Miller-Urey experiment because Urey was the head of the lab, is still in most of the textbooks. And they're still telling students that life originated pretty much by chance. And that's false. And students should know that. When they read this, they're being fed propaganda, not science.
Right. In fact, most working scientists today, if you ask them, they would probably say, and many of them do admit, we're no closer to really explaining the absolute origin of life now than we were in 1953 when the experiment was done.
Quite right. Most scientists realize that that's the case. But that's not what students are being taught.
Right. But the textbooks are not making that known to students. Would you call that a fake fact? The Miller-Urey experiment?
Well, it's a fact.
Now that they're continuing to put it out there, even though they know it's not true.
Well, the experiment actually happened. Sometimes the textbooks portray it accurately, but the implications they draw from it are false.
I see.
And what I see going on there is a commitment to materialistic storytelling, regardless of the evidence. And this is what I call zombie science. It's empirically dead, but it keeps coming anyway.
And that's your latest book, Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution.
Yes. And Miller-Urey was one of the icons of evolution originally, and still there.
Are there new icons of evolution?
Well, in the new book, I include 15 icons. The original book in 2000 was 10.
Mm-hmm.
The additional five are not necessarily new. It's just that I didn't cover them in 2000.
Okay.
So they've been around for a while, but my treatment of them is new in that sense.
Do you see zombie science as a replacement for or an addition to biology textbooks that kids get in school today?
I think a sharp high school student or a college student would benefit from reading zombie science because it puts the textbook material on evolution in perspective. The other textbook material that it puts in perspective is the claim that DNA is the secret of life. We are our DNA. Our embryos are controlled by DNA. We're a program in DNA. Sometimes the claim is made that our behavior is determined by DNA. And this is utter nonsense. It's been known to be nonsense for years by biologists. But there's a group, a powerful lobby in science that wants this to be true because it's a materialistic story. And so zombie science helps with that as well as with the materialistic stories of evolution.
And you think it would be good reading for the age level of high school biology students? I know a lot of kids start getting biology classes in 10th grade.
It depends on how serious the student is. I mean, if a student is taking biology because it's a requirement and doing the minimum to get by and not really interested in the subject, I don't know that zombie science would interest that kind of student. But I know students in high school who are very interested, very sharp, and hungry for knowledge. And for them, zombie science would be a real plus.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, I want to thank you for being here and talking a little bit about the book and the icons. The book is Zombie Science. You can find out more about that at Jonathan's website, Icons of Evolution. It is his sort of home on the internet. It has a lot of information about his books, not just Zombie Science, but his other books and archives of his writings and so on. It's a great resource for all things Jonathan Wells, I think, and that's at iconsofevolution.com. Jonathan, thanks for being with us today.
Been a pleasure, Rob.
For more podcasts like this one, be sure to visit idthefuture.com. That's idthefuture.com. I'm Robert Crowther for Center for Science and Culture. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.